Yeah, so we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to His word, and we praise Him for His grace and His power. We carry on in 1 Corinthians, and we have been looking at this weighty letter that Paul has written to the Corinthian church that has been addressing issue after issue, concern after concern, and I believe these are things that he would have loved to teach them. And I am sure he taught them because he stayed with them for 1.5 years. But you see, there are things that are always limitations that you cannot teach at certain points because people are at certain places. Now, one of the things that about God is that, and even how Jesus taught based on hunger and based on ability to receive. And so he will tell his disciples, there are many things that I want to share with you, but I'm not able to. But when he, the Spirit of truth, when he comes, he shall guide you into all truth. He shall bring you into remembrance everything that I have taught you. And so there is the teaching capacity or the teaching grace that is on the Holy Spirit, that he is available as a vessel to any vessel that is willing to be taught by him, any vessel that avails itself, that says, I'm available, that the Holy Spirit is willing. And one of the things that we learn about God is that God has given us one Spirit, and this Holy Spirit is the one that does the distribution of the enablement of God, and he brings us into spirit and life, into spiritual life. And the Corinthian church is a church that was gifted in many spiritual gifts. They were gifted in all knowledge, in all utterance, but then Paul is concerned that they lacked maturity, they lacked love, they were divided in many ways, they were still carnal, they were still holding on to different issues of cultural barriers, of immorality, addressing indiscipline, they were still divided among leaders, and all these things that they had questions on marriage, on giving, on, you know, on how to deal with day-to-day issues, even on dressing things that affected their society. And so Paul, by the wisdom of God, God gives him the ability to even address spiritual issues. Remember, Paul is an authority. He was not there with the disciples when Jesus walked on the earth physically, but we can see that he, by revelation, has received, you know, a dispensation of the gospel. He says it's a stewardship that has been given to him that he should preach the gospel. Woe to him if he does not preach. And by virtue of him, you know, being revealed to by the Holy Spirit and being taught by Jesus, receiving things from the Lord, he is able to deliver all these things that are guidance for us. And by it, each and every line, when you study the books of Paul, you realize the depth, the clarity, that nothing was amiss because he really, God gave him a grace for revelation. And yet the word says that, but he says of himself, as a wise master builder, I laid the foundation, and no one can lay any other foundation apart from that which has been laid, which is Christ. And then each one should see how they build. So the foundations that are laid are of Christ, are Christ. And Paul, in every point, he is what you would say a lawyer, because remember, he was a Pharisee, he is a teacher of the law, so everything that he gives is well structured, and we must take heed to understand it. So today we'll start looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll start see what he addresses, the aspects of spiritual gifts. Now, the Bible says, verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, if you actually look at King James, it says concerning spiritual. That means concerning not even the gifts, concerning the spiritual life, or concerning things that concern with the spiritual world or the world of spirits, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, from this starting point, Paul is telling us that, and the word of God through Paul today is telling us that there is a spiritual world that exists alongside our world, our physical world. Remember, if you go back from the beginning, in the beginning God made the heavens and the earth, and by virtue of the laws of first mention, that tells you that the spiritual was made first before the physical. That means the physical arises from the spiritual, and the physical is a reflection of what has happened in the physical is a reflection of what has already happened in the spiritual. So, and if we are ignorant of the things that are happening in the spirit, then things can happen to us. There can be delay in our lives, there can be barriers in our lives, and we can be victims of the spiritual world. And this is sadly what happens to many people, especially unbelievers, because they are victims of the spirit of the air. The Bible says they are under the control of the God of this air, the God of this world, who is Satan, who, you know, directs them to do his will, his bidding. He has blinded the mind of unbelievers. But we as believers, we are not under the bondage of Satan. We are not under his blindness unless it is out of our ignorance. And you see, ignorance is not a defense. I mean, if you're caught by a policeman, even if you don't know the rules, the traffic rules, in fact, they're very happy when you're ignorant, because then you can be exploited. So ignorance is not a defense, and also ignorance in spiritual matters is actually very costly. So Paul says, now concerning spiritual, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. And he says, you know that you are Gentiles, carried away to this damned idols, however you are led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. So now, he's trying to tell them, first of all, remember how it is you were when you were under being led by these damned idols. And it's clearly indicating that these idols that could not speak, you were muttering things, and they used to say, you know, many things. And you know, when they think of the Gentiles, the babblers, they will just make incantations, and they were led in many ways, and they were carried by them. And you know, remember, idols are linked to demons, you know, so there are things that they will guide them in that way, and they will mutter things. And they, since they had no idea what they were, there was things that they would say that were contrary to the Spirit of God. And Paul is trying to tell them, but look here, now when you have turned to Christ, you are not coming to speak to dumb idols. And you know, one of the things that people worry about, especially when they speak in tongues, is the question is, what am I saying? And you know, when you link it up to, you know, to 1 Corinthians 14, where it says that when we pray in tongues, our minds are unfruitful, but our spirits are edified. We speak mysteries unto God. Inasmuch as our minds are unfruitful, we know that our spirits by faith are speaking to God, and God is hearing. So one of the things that we see is that he addresses the concern of, what are you saying? And could I be cursing God when I speak in tongues or when I pray in tongues? And he says, no, I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God can call Jesus a curse. That means that if you find someone that is cursing Jesus, someone that is, you know, going against the divinity of Jesus, someone that is speaking negatively against that Jesus did not come in the flesh, remember that person is not speaking by the Spirit of God. And also, true that if you are speaking the right thing, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is, you're praising God, you're giving glory to God, then you know that this person is speaking by the Holy Spirit. So there is that thing that is to give you the confidence. And remember the day of Pentecost, when they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Bible says the people that had them, they had them praising God with in their own languages, and they said, are these not Galileans? How do we hear them praising God or speaking the wonders of God in our own tongues? So when we speak in tongues, or when there is that prayer in tongues, we are communicating mysteries to God. That means that, and also we are praising God in and giving glory to God, maybe in a language that we do not know ourselves, but maybe it's a human language that exists. But all these things are by the Spirit, and we must have the faith that we cannot speak something that is contrary to Christ. Just have the faith that what you're saying or how you speak in tongues, when you're carried by the Spirit of God, is not against Christ. So that is one of the key foundations that he establishes. Now, verse 4, he says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries or differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities or diversities of operations, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now, as a believer and as someone who, you know, you have been in churches and in various, you know, meetings, you're going to experience various manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the things that you will establish is that there are people who, when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, remember the Holy Spirit is a spirit. That means he is like, picture him like the wind. You cannot be able to touch the wind. You cannot be able to, you know, to see the wind, but you can feel the effect of the wind. You can feel the effect when it blows, when it bends trees, when it, you know, causes destruction, when it brings cold and heat and all these things. So the Holy Spirit can be likened to the wind. So we do not see him per se, but we can feel him, we can hear him, we can see his effect in our lives. And what we can see is that he manifests himself through us through diversities of gifts. That means that there is going to be diversity. Think of the world. There are 8 billion people, and each of these billion people have a unique fingerprint that identifies them, that differs them from another. Think of the angels that we have. There are diversities of angels. Think of the stars. Think of the planets. Think of even creatures, animals, plants. There is something unique about each and every thing that we see on earth that tells us of the complexities and the differences in how God reveals himself. And Paul, by virtue of the wisdom that God gives him, he tries to show us that even when it comes to things of the Spirit of God, the giftings of the Spirit, the presentation of the Spirit of God, that God presents himself by his Spirit and he manifests himself to us in differences. So that means that he can manifest in the level of gifts. He can manifest in the level of administrations or ministries. He can also manifest in the level of activities or operations. Now, the gifts, remember, gifts are not under. Gifts are given by the Spirit of God. They come to those that the Holy Spirit wills. You don't do anything to earn a gift. it is given naturally, just like a child is born and a child has that ability to have a voice. That was God given. Any good musician has a natural gift of a voice. But you see, gifts are also developed. Now, if you don't use that natural inclination, if God, you know, gave you a natural gift of either being a leader or something like that, but if you don't invest in it, if you don't put it to work, you know, if you don't fan into flame the gift that was given to you by the laying on of hands of the elders, then you will not reach the full potential of what God gave you. So in these diversities of gifts, it tells us that God, through the Holy Spirit, has chosen to manifest himself in different ways. And we can see here 9 aspects of gifts that are diversified, that are shown here. So whenever you meet believers, you will find them expressing different gifts based on what God has given them. And number 2, they will express it at different levels based on how much they have developed the gift, how much they have submitted themselves to the understanding of the gift, to the knowledge of the gift, and to the, you know, to the growth in the gift. Now, gifts are transferable. Remember, it's the gifts can be on the laying on of hands, but also gifts can also be desired. Remember, the scripture also tells us, eagerly desire the greater gifts. So there are gifts that are greater than others. There are gifts that might be lesser. There are gifts that are public. There are gifts that are private. But one of the things that we see is that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now, all these things are manifestations of the Spirit. Now, it is given to each one, to every one of us, for the profit of all. So I've said the first level of manifestation is at the level of gifts. And where there are gifts, there are diversities. Now, remember, gifts come from the Spirit of God. So they come from him, and God is a giver of gifts. And there is no one who can say they are not given a gift from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not unjust, because he has chosen and he has given each and every person a gift. At least at the basic one, there is a gift of speaking in tongues, which is available for every believer. But not everyone will speak, because some will not speak because of ignorance, or some will not speak because they are expecting that the Holy Spirit will move their mouths for them. Some will not speak because they think they are cursing Jesus, or it looks foolish. Some will never speak. You should speak, but it does not mean that everyone will speak. So it is your will, he that speaks in tongues. So it is an aspect of your will. It is you that speaks. And at least that is the one gift that God has given us, the ability to exercise at will. Number 2, level of manifestation is differences in ministries or differences in administrations, but the same Lord. Now, it is, you know, when I say Paul is more than a lawyer, is that when he speaks of gifts, he points it to the Spirit. But when he speaks of ministries or administrations, he speaks it to the Lord. That means that the point you become a minister, the point you become a servant, the point you enter into administration, that means the gifts of service, the gifts of, you know, of helps, the gifts of giving, the gifts of leading people, the gifts of taking care of the needs of others. Then you have entered into the place where now you're entering into ministry, where you're now becoming a servant. And the servant is the one that has found the lordship of God. Now, when you have found the lordship of Christ, then you enter into service. And that's why it says there are differences. So diversities are there in gifts. That means there are many. But then there are also differences in how we administer those gifts that are given, or how we administer service in the Lord, and each of us is called to be a minister, but not everyone ministers. Now, how we minister is different and is unique to us. That's why you find the people who naturally find themselves smiling and God has given them the gift of ushering. Now, but you might have that ability innate, given by the Spirit, but until you get to the place where you submit yourself to the Lordship of Christ, then you can express that ministry, the differences in ministry that are from the Holy Spirit, then it is you when you find the Lord. And then he says there are also diversities of operations or diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. Now, here is where he speaks of power. Now, this is where we speak that miracles are worked. You know, there are operations. There are things that happen that we know this is the work of God. So when you encounter the power of God, when you recognize God as God, the Almighty God, then you enter into the diversity of his activities or the diversities of his operation. So you can see all this are manifestations of the Spirit of God. So God, it is the same God who works all in all. So remember, all this is unity in diversity. All this is Paul introducing to us the spiritual. And he's trying to tell us, look here, when you're in church and someone is speaking in tongues, giving a message, that is the same Spirit. Oh, someone is serving God. You can see this person is serving diligently. This is a unique gift that is by the Spirit of God. When you see someone, people are falling down, demons are being cast out, miracles are being worked, that is the same Spirit of God at work in the church, in the lives of believers, because God has given the manifestation of the Spirit. That means the revelation for the Spirit of God to be made manifest, for God to, you know, even just teaching, for God to show himself through a person, that is given to everyone. And I love how each word is important, to each one, for the profit of all. God has given us the manifestations of the Spirit, not for our own profit alone, but for the profit of all. That means that we are interdependent. We are not independent of one another as believers, but we are interdependent. That means that there is a gift of a teacher in one, but there is also a gift of a giver in another. There is a gift of a healer in one. There is a gift of administration in one. There is a gift of sight, prophetic, prophecy in one. All these are for the body. Now, the eye cannot tell the nose, I don't need you. The hand cannot tell the leg, I don't need you. The stomach cannot tell the brains, I don't need you. In fact, some of the most important parts are actually hidden the most. You see, at times someone will say, oh, me, I am hidden. I am not being seen by the world. I'm not going out. I'm not growing. I'm not visible. But yet you think that the visible ones are more important. Even in the body, some of the most important organs of ours are not seen. They are hidden. Why? Because they are necessary to be hidden for the preservation of the whole. So that's why in heaven, at the end of the day, we are going to really be surprised when people get their gifts. We might think that it is the apostles that are on the pulpit that will get the biggest reward, yet it might be the cleaners or the street preachers or those women that pray for them that actually get their reward. So rank is never based on what we see on the outside. It is God that knows our hearts. It's God that evaluates our hearts. And I'll just read out the different gifts and that we'll be able to see. So part of the manifestation, you said, is at three levels: at gifts, at ministries or administrations, and also at activities or operations. And then verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, Paul just gave them two. But if you go line by line, you will need to actually study each of these gifts one by one to be able to expound all the wisdom that is needed for each of these gifts, for each of how they operate, what do they mean, why are they necessary in the church. But the Bible says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. God is not unjust. God has given each and every one of us a manifestation. It might be dreams and visions. It might be knowings. It might be words of knowledge. It might be healing. It might be discerning of spirits. It must be prophecy. It might be faith. It must be, you know, all these different diversities. But remember, they all come from the Spirit of God. But because God wants to be known, so why does he want to be known? Why does he want to remind you he's still with you? That's why he gives you a manifestation. So that manifestation is to remind you that you belong to Christ. You have his Spirit within you, and you are sealed with him till the day of redemption. That's why I always keep saying, as long as the Spirit is manifesting in your life, you are assured of heaven, because the Holy Spirit is the assurance of our salvation. Let us keep sensitive. Let us keep obedient. Let us keep trusting in God. I'll stop here and for today, and I pray that God will give us grace and wisdom for another time. Amen. Over. Welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Manu, for that. I think it's just very clear that indeed God blesses us all with us different gifts, and it's all one in diversity, all coming from the same source, but diversified. We pray that God gives us the grace to know and identify the gifts that God has given us. But I think that also takes the grace of God, as many Christians, many have maybe outlived their life on earth without even knowing what the gift God gave them. And I think the gifts God gave us are some of, they are attached to the purpose of which he created us. So knowing the gift is the first step to know the purpose of which God created you. But also for those that have had the grace to know the gift God has blessed them with, we pray that also God gives us the understanding to utilize it for the glorification of the kingdom. Sometimes we brag about it. We think it's because of our own making. We think it's because of our own might. We think it's because of the education we have attained. We think it's because of the upbringing, the levels of exposure. We have certain gifts. Getting that this is a blessing from God, and it's for the purpose of the glorification of his kingdom. So I pray that as Christians, we'll be able to be awake to that reality and that truth in what. I'll stop here. She doesn't have anything else to add.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, indeed, he is a giver of all gifts. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us this morning in a language that we understand. And indeed, as you continue to show that you have desired to be made known to us and to the world, and the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the profit of all, I pray that we shall not be ignorant, that our hearts shall be open, our understanding shall be open, that we shall know the purposes for which you have made us, the purposes that we are to fulfill in the body of Christ as believers. And I pray for a release of gifts, a release of awareness of gifts, and an understanding, a grace, O God, that indeed these gifts shall be revealed, and that even your children shall serve you. They shall be available to be ministers, to be administrators of the grace that you have given them. And I thank you for the operations, O God, that the operations may start to work in our lives, that we experience grace, we may see the power, we may see the anointing, indeed that we may walk in the supernatural, O God, because indeed it is for your glory, O God. And we forgive us where we have taken glory for ourselves, where we have thought it is our own human effort. Forgive us and show us mercy. And I plead the blood of Jesus over our families, over our children, over everything that concerns us. Go ahead of us, protect us, keep and sustain us. Thank you for the service today, that your presence and hand goes ahead of us. We thank you and we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Shalom and blessed day ahead.